Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in, just for good measure. Hey, listen, we're gonna conclude our, well, you know what? This topic may go on for days. I have no idea. But we're gonna officially conclude our topic now with a phone call from Jay Towne. Some of y'all know Jay. He's been on multiple shows around here, as well as being on a Fox News contributor at times. Jay Towne is a former U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Alabama, appointed during the Trump administration. And he is on the line with us right now. Jay Towne, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. How are you? Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. By the way, I forgot to mention, too, you're a former JAG officer with a rank of major, so Semper Fi, and thanks for your service.
Hoorah, and to you, sir. Now, I'm happy to be on with you, and just to correct you ever so slightly, I also contribute to Newsmax.
Let us not forget those that have you on. Absolutely. Well, just make sure you tell Newsmax that you also contribute to Right Side Radio. How about that?
Daggone right. Hey, right. They know I'm on with you right now, in fact.
Oh, yeah. Good deal. Hey, listen, man, you know this inside and out a whole lot better than I would. In my legal practice, I have never even done criminal law by choice. But we're looking at a whole different ballgame with things like special counsel. And I wonder if you would, before we even get into your thoughts on how this went down yesterday, could you just enlighten the audience on special counsel, how they're appointed, what their authority is, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you want to look it up, it's 28 USC 509 and then sort of the progeny after that. But essentially, the special counsel exists, the statute exists, so that when there's some sort of conflict of interest within the executive branch, that someone is appointed from that is, you know, a neutral arbiter that can go in when this conflict of interest exists, they can conduct the investigation. Now, the attorney general, the special counsel, is the penultimate authority. At the end of the day, the attorney general of the United States has to sign off on every bit of it. So whether there's an indictment in Jack Smith's case or a declination in Rob Hur's case, those are things that the attorney general always retains the power, as he should, frankly, as the attorney general of the United States, the cabinet member, to say, you know what, we're not doing that, or you're not going to say that. I think more to the point in special counsel Hur's report we're hearing out of the White House today, a lot of the term gratuitous maybe has been used 17,000 times today about some of the criticisms of Biden's mental faculty, of which there are many in this report. And so that's the point of a special counsel. They're given a term to complete their work. They can always extend it. And then by law, the report has to be presented to the United States Congress. And if any changes to the special counsel's report have been made by the attorney general to include, nope, we're going to charge, or nope, we're going to decline, or even so much as a comma turned into a semicolon, the attorney general has to submit a report about that change and his explanation for it. That's it. That's really it. Not a particularly long statute.
Well, so Robert Hur did his investigation, took what I think 4 or 5, 6 months at least. Came out with his report yesterday, and let me ask you. I mean, the idea that charges are not going to be brought, and I recognize that there's actually I believe a DOJ policy of not indicting a sitting president, if I'm not mistaken. But that being said, there is a thing called prosecutorial discretion where they are basically, a prosecutor is allowed to go, I can't get that one across the finish line. I'm going to choose to get a plea on it, or I can't do this one. I'm not going to bring charges. I mean, it's kind of a triage kind of thing. Am I right?
It is, and look, the prosecutor's discretion is not all, I mean, it always starts with, Phil, as you know, that can I prove this case beyond a reasonable doubt?
Right.
You don't indict a case if you're Alvin Bragg or Fonnie Willis or, at least in the January 6th case, Jack Smith, if you're not convinced you can prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt. Right, Alvin Bragg can't prove anything beyond a reasonable doubt. He's not a real prosecutor. He's probably standing outside of a hot dog stand in New York right now. He's just not a serious person. And I use him as an example because his discretion is very poor. We saw that when he released seven assailants without bond who had just attacked two police officers, and the body cams that NYPD released without Bragg knowing about it, because they couldn't get Bragg to do anything, it was very clear that at least five individuals in that had been arrested, their faces are very clear in that video. Bragg let them go anyway without a bond, right? That's poor discretion. Now, people, I think, Rob Hurd, just so everybody knows, I served with Rob. Rob was the U.S. attorney in Maryland, appointed by Donald Trump, when I was the U.S. attorney here in Alabama. He's a good friend of mine. I mean, we spent a lot of time together on committees. He's an honest guy. He's a super smart guy. I think he's Stanford undergrad and Yale law school or vice versa, but brilliant guy. And but more than anything, he's fair and just. He was the right guy for this job. And if he thought that he could prove this case beyond a reasonable doubt and it was really strong and egregious, I think he would have brought it. But let me read this quote to you from the 388-page report, Phil.
Yeah.
And this, I think, sums it all up about your question about prosecutorial discretion. We think jurors assessing Mr. Biden's guilt and intent will be persuaded less by what the government says in executive orders and agency regulations and more by what the government actually has done or not done by way of enforcement. In other words, ever since Eisenhower was president, presidents and vice presidents have left the White House with classified material. Not one of them has been prosecuted. That was a jab at Jack Smith, right? Backhanded jab, but a jab nonetheless. Because what he's saying there is, it's real. Hey, why are you prosecuting me when there's every other president and vice president in the world has not been prosecuted for this very same offense? And so Donald Trump, reading that, I think it makes a really good point as to how you should voir dire and present evidence in the Mar-a-Lago case and even the January 6th case. And so Rob used his discretion to say, you know what, this is not what we do.
Yeah.
Rob Hurd did what Jack Smith should have done, Phil. Imagine if Rob Hurd's declination of President Biden came out first. We weren't all incensed that Trump had been, you know, there was a Mar-a-Lago raid, there was a search warrant, there was, you know, 91 counts in these four jurisdictions, right? Let's say none of that had happened and Rob came out and said, man, we don't prosecute presidents. I think Right Side Radio would say, I get it.
Yep.
Right? I mean, we've never done it before. I mean, Hillary was the closest, well, she crossed the line, right? And we still didn't prosecute her. Trump said, yeah, we don't do that. That's not us. But we're in the situation now where folks want to say, hey, Rob Hurd didn't indict. This is two-tier justice. No. There is the way it's always been done and the way the justice system should work, and then there's the way President Trump's being treated. If there's a second tier, it's for this one guy and people in his orbit.
So let me ask you about that, though. Let me jump in, Jay, and ask you a question on that, because you bring up a topic that I wanted to get into, and that is the disparity between the two. And I recognize that Hur's report yesterday about Biden is not necessarily precedential, you know, in terms of setting precedent that would then carry over to Trump, but does
correct
it? So what I'm saying is, what does Jack Smith do now? Now that he has got, oh, God, what did her say? Oh, crap. So what is Jack Smith going to do now?
The egg off his face, right? So that's A. But what he does next is prepare for a subpoena to be a witness in the trial in the Mar-a-Lago case, at least, for President Joe Biden, because Biden in his interview, there's a big long sort of in one of the chapters, I can't remember which chapter in the report, but Biden was interviewed three times over 3 days, and he went on and on about Reagan's. He was adamant that the classified information. So you know this, just for the listeners though. When you sit in a classified briefing, I've had a top secret or higher my entire adult life.
Right.
And when you sit in a briefing or you're in a meeting that is about a classified, oftentimes for me it was a case, right? You know, if you take notes, notes go into the classified folder and yep. they stay there. You don't take them home with you. You don't have notebooks, those little green notepads you see that, you know, the military has, they walk around with, put in their cargo pocket. Those don't go. That's why I never took notes, because I didn't want to leave with something. I didn't even bring a pen with me because I didn't want to leave with anything that was a classified thought even, right? So even my perception of the meeting without writing down names, dates, times, things like that, even my perception is classified because it's based on classified information. I've actually created a classified document with my notes. Joe Biden had notebooks from going back the entire time he was vice president that he was adamant that they were his because they were his notes, right? He didn't have any classified material with a red binder on it. These were just his notes. Well, that's not the law. Now, I think what Rob found was probably correct. He didn't know the law, so he didn't have a willfulness. He didn't have an intent, right? He just didn't know that was wrong. Now, this is the guy who, remember, he's being interviewed while he's president of the United States, right? He wasn't being interviewed when he's senator from Delaware. He's being interviewed last year in October. And he still didn't know during that interview that his notes were classified material because they came from a classified briefing.
Yeah.
And so he goes on and on about how Reagan had this diary that had classified material in it. And every president since Reagan, same thing, you know, and even White House counsel was arguing, yeah, I mean, you can see that, you know, this is how we treat, you know, everybody does it. So what's the big deal? Hey, I agree with you, Joe. Could you be my first witness in United States versus Donald John Trump, please? Right? Because I did what you guys taught me to do.
Yeah. No doubt.
And that is a powerful witness for Donald Trump. And the White House counsel, they really stepped into a lot of things in their letter, their four-page whine. At the end of the document, the last four pages is the letter from the White House counsel and their objections to the actual report. And I'll just share one thing. And I'm not trying to filibuster.
Yeah, we got about a minute left, too, Jay, just so you know.
Yeah, and I'll just say this. One of the maybe most interesting things that they said was that the Presidential Records Act doesn't apply to classified materials in a former president's home.
Wow.
Or a former vice president's home.
Wow.
Right? Now, the PRA is how they got to Trump to begin with.
Yep.
Right? That was how the archives wanted. They used the presidential records to get to the archives. The archives demanded the boxes back. Trump said no. Archives turned it over to the FBI. FBI went and gathered it, got some information, and did a search warrant. So, White House counsel, I love your analysis. I believe you're correct. Second up after the president. You guys can all fly together.
It's you know, good for thee, but not for me. That's what we're looking at right there in that letter.
Well, yeah, they had to do their job for him though, because they had to get him off the hook, right? In addition to these, you know, the significantly limited memory, limited recall, limited precision and recall, diminished faculty, and the various descriptives of his lack of mental acuity that are laden throughout this. And they're all accurate. That's why Attorney General Garland didn't take them out of the report, right? He had every opportunity to. He could have taken all those, quote, gratuitous, unquote, terms out of the report. He didn't. You know why? Because it's true.
Yeah. Man, this is an amazing set of circumstances we're in. It doesn't matter whether you look at it legally, medically, ethically, national security-wise. I mean, this is virtually unprecedented, the level of concern that has been raised by the mere statements of mm-hmm. talking about him being infirm and having a lapsing memory. It's just unreal right now. J-Town, we appreciate you, man. What you got?
Just real quick, I want everybody to remember this. Rob Hurd did what Jack Smith should have done. That's the most important takeaway. Save yourself a 388-page read that's what the takeaway is. As a career prosecutor, as an expert in criminal law, I'm telling you, Rob did exactly the right thing here, and Jack Smith should have, and he didn't.
Outstanding. Hey, J-Town, thanks for what you do, and thanks for being on today. All right, man?
All right. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks, buddy. Oh, wow. All right. That's amazing. That's something else. Well, listen, Big Rig, take it to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. You've had some I hope you ruffians out there recognize the level of content we bring you on this show. My gosh. All right. We'll come back and wrap this thing up, and then top of the hour, we're going to switch gears completely. Going to talk some right sports. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.